Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we're sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. So we want to welcome you to our Friday morning's edition. And we are coming to the end of week one of dealing with the subject on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are in going into week two in dealing with the subject about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But when we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are sharing with you now about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a manner of living the Spirit-filled life. And so we're going to be talking about, again, the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the not only just the gifts of the Spirit, but we'll be talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And we're not going to just speak on them like we used to do. I was raised up in teaching on each one, like the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning the Spirit, and these are what you call three, they're called the revelation gifts. And then we break them down, the word of faith, the gift of healing, the work of the miracle, they were called the power gift. And then we called the prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. And these three say something. So, but I don't think we'll do it in that manner because we have grown so much. I'm talking about in the body of Christ, revelation, knowledge, the teaching of the word. 40 plus years ago, it had to be taught like that because so much was just so new, especially if you grew up in the charismatic movement. See, I got born again in the tail end of the charismatic movement. And so a lot of these things were taught that manner, in a manner to do what? So that it could help you and I to understand the function of these gifts and these fruits that we have. But because of so much teaching has been done, so much revelation has come forth over the years, I think that we can teach it now, you know, with a grace of understanding that when we mention about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about releasing the authority that is in the name of Jesus. And that's what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is all about. He's there to do what? To help us, walk us through how to release the authority that is in that name. Now, why is that so important? Because he was with Jesus in the beginning of his ministry. He is the Word of God. He was with God in the beginning of creation. And so the Holy Spirit, the only part of the Godhead now that is present with us, we have all the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but the one that is active to you and I of the Godhead now is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And God is always active because he is the Word. He is, you know, he's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Ghost. It's three in one. It's hard to put that in words. But just like we are three in one. We're spirit, we're body, and we're soul. But when we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are saying about the Spirit-filled life, that is a way that we live. And we've been sharing with you, I missed yesterday, what you going over this yesterday. So I'll pick this back up from Wednesday. We've been sharing with you about the Spirit-filled prayer. The life of the Spirit-filled believer is how we pray in a manner of learning how to release an authority, to release an ability that God has placed within us. And if you, for an example, if you go over here, let's just take for an example. Look over here with me in 2 Kings. I want to do something a little different, but I'm always being led by the Spirit of God. And so let's look over here in 2 Kings for a moment and just show you about how Elisha released the Spirit of God, you know, through what we call discernment of spirit. And then not only that, but the eyes of his spiritual understanding was enlightened. Now, I used this prayer last Wednesday that the Bible talked about in Ephesians 1, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, this is one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit, is to enlighten your eyes. Not these, but when we say your eyes, your understanding. That's what he's doing. The Holy Ghost is enlightening your understanding. In other words, he's getting you to see something that's not visible to the natural eye. He's getting you to conceive something that is not natural to your natural mind. Why? Because everything about the Spirit of God, the Word of God, it is invisible. But I can see it through the Word. So when I read the Word and I see how God has moved through, whether it be a prophet, whether it be apostle, whether whoever it is, then what it does, it paints an image on the inside of me of revealing how God moves by His Spirit. And that's why renewing of the mind, the renewing of our mind is so vital, is so important. Because until you renew your mind with the Word of God, if the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, again, that the eyes, and that's why we pray that prayer, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? Because if my mindset is not renewed to receive the Word of God, you will say that's impossible. That can't be God. But you have to think about, the only reason why we say something is impossible or that's not God, the only reason why we say that, because we're still looking at life how we were conceived. We were conceived into a fallen world with a fallen nature, or a condemned nature. So therefore, we saw everything from that perspective. We judged everything through the philosophy of how we were raised, in the atmosphere we were raised, things we heard, and et cetera. And when someone come to you and say that, you know, this cancer is irreversible, it's all over the body, nothing can be done, prepare for death. Well, in the natural, nothing can be done. In the natural, it can't be overturned. But we're not living in the natural only. See, that's what I mean by a spirit, the spirit-filled believer looks at, when we say the spirit-filled believer, now listen to this carefully. We partake with the truth of how God created that body. God created that body perfect before the foundation of the world. In God, everything was created perfect. And we know since the fall of man, what happened? We know since the fall of man, everything was condemned, everything fallen below the glory of God. So that's why a child could be born, you know, deformed, or it could have autism, or something in life can cause you to lose your mind because of whatever it may be. Those things may be a fact, but one that is spirit-filled, one that understand his or her authority in the name of Jesus. The reason for the authority, understanding the authority of Jesus, is because you and I have been called to do what? To put things back in the order the way God formed it. So if it's impossible, it's impossible to the natural mind. It's impossible to natural science. But it is not impossible with God. And we can see all doing through the history. You take for an example, I know I'm getting ready to show you this about Elisha, but just take about Jesus' birth. Well, how could a woman be born, conceive a child, a male child, and she was not touched by a man? I'm just trying to show you the power of the importance of the Word. Or you understand what I'm saying? Or you take someone like Abraham and Sarah, which is 90 and 100 years of age, and they bring forth an Isaac. That's impossible. Or Elizabeth and Zechariah, which is, we talked about in the first week of this lesson, and they brought forth, even though God had to cause the Zechariah to be dumb until the child was born, and then gave the name of that child. That was a biological miracle in itself, just the same as Abraham and Sarah. What am I saying to you? In the natural, that's impossible. But with God, all things is possible. So the purpose of your authority, the purpose of you using the name of Jesus, is so that you can take what they say can't be and make it be. Did you understand what I said? You can take what they say can't be and make it be. Now, what did I just do? I put that authority, I didn't, but God put that authority in the name of Jesus back in our hand. That's why you and I, as the Spirit-filled believer, if you don't use the life that God has given unto us, that Zoe kind of life, if you don't release that power, that ability into the earth, then a lot of things will go as though it can't be changed, because we will all look at things and say, well, that's just the way it is. You know, what can I do about it? There's a lot that you can do about it when you look at the Word of God. You have to make the Bible your final authority as how you're going to believe, and the faith that you're going to release in acting on that truth. Are you following me? And so let's look at this for a moment. If you notice here, in verse 13, let's back up to verse 8. And this is 2 Kings 6. Now watch this. It said, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with the servant, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Well, how did Elisha know that? The Syrian army or captain did not let them know this. So what did he have? He had a word of wisdom. And so what he did, see, this is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, Elisha wasn't filled with the Spirit, but the Spirit of God came up on, just like the Spirit of God came up on Abraham, came up on Sarah, it came up on Elizabeth, it came up on Zechariah, it came up on King David, it came up on all the Old Testament prophets, up to Jesus himself. Then when Jesus was born, when Jesus was baptized, then the Holy Spirit itself that was operating in types and shadow came into Jesus in the form of a dove. Didn't say it was a dove, but it lit up on him from heaven. And Jesus, what did he do? He began to introduce in the earth how creation came about. But he's doing it now as a man. He's functioning in this power, in this authority as a God man. He's doing it as the Son of God, and he's doing it as the Son of Man. The Son of God, he would be in his deity. When he says the Son of Man, it's in his humanity that he's identifying with you and I. And so notice here, a word of wisdom. That means something that the king of Israel would have not known if it wasn't for the gift of wisdom not to be employed. Now watch this. Notice this. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. See, it wasn't just once or twice. He continued to do it. What am I saying? All of us, especially if you're born again, you're full of the Holy Ghost, at living a spirit-filled life, notice what it does. It puts you in a place of whereas you know in your spirit certain roles not to take or certain things not to do today. Or don't put your mouth on certain things. That's the Holy Ghost inside of you, saving you, keeping you. Oh, you understand? See, the world don't have this. Just the same person that born again, they can function in some, but in the fullness there, they don't have this because their tradition. It's not that the reason for being filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in another tongue, because your head is going to stop you from walking in these truths. And that's what happened to a person that just born again and they're not filled with the Spirit. Because, see, your soul, your heart, your mind, your will, your emotion, all that's part of your soul, your heart, what it will talk you out of, or it will explain away why these things can't be, or why this happened, and etc. It may be a reason, it may be a cause for this or that, but it doesn't matter when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God, because we are called to put things back in the manner that God originally intended. And you can only do that with a renewed mindset. But when our mind is not renewed with God, then we will say that's impossible. And the reason why we say that's impossible, because we in ourselves can't make that change. Well, no, we can't. But God never called us to do anything on our own. The life that we now live, as Galatians 2:20 said, the life that we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So it's his life that's living through me. So it's his life that's in me, but my body is the carrier or the display of the life of Christ that's in me. In you. And so what he wants to do, he wants to rule, he wants to reign, but he can't rule and reign through the way God created the heavens and the earth without having a body. That's where we come in. That's why we're the body. And that's the reason why the prayer in Ephesians, another part of that prayer, say that he is the head and we are the body, and he has placed all things under his feet. That's Ephesians 1:20 through 21. You see why it's so important that you and I, as the spirit-filled believer, pray those prayers? You don't have to pray them in that kind of logical order. You can kind of just bring them together as the Spirit of God will lead you when you pray, you know, these prayers. But my point is what it does. It empowers, it infuses you and I to do what? To think in a light according to the Word of God and not think in the light of the realm you and I live in. Because this realm that we live in, it wants to keep us earthly. It wants to keep us thinking natural. And God, Spirit, that lives inside of you, the life of God is now living inside of you and I. And when you and I, that's filled with the Spirit of Christ that's in us, God can talk to us in the same likeness that he did with Adam. God created it all. But he put it in charge of Adam. Now we know the first Adam lost authority up, but Jesus, being the second Adam, restored everything back to us. And so Jesus is a life-giving spirit. He came by the Spirit. And that's why you and I are born of that Spirit. So that same Spirit that was in Christ that moved him is the same Spirit we have. So what is it? When we say Jesus Christ, We're talking about the anointing. We're not talking about a person. We're talking about this, the anointing of that person. We have the anointing. We have the Spirit of Jesus living inside of us. That did what? That overcame. Are you following what I'm saying? Remember, and we'll talk about it. We'll get a little bit deeper into the more of the healing and miracle aspect of it next week. But you remember, and I think it's in Luke 17, when Jesus, when the 10 leper came to Jesus. And the Bible said that as they went, they were healed. Jesus told them they go show themselves to the priest. And one came back. Now notice that Jesus didn't touch, but one came back and praised God and gave thanks. This man was made whole. And Jesus said, were there not 10? Where is the 9? So that means the others got healed as well. But only one came back to show forth his thanksgiving. What I'm trying to show to you? I'm showing you that leprosy or a disease like that, it's like it stinks. No one wants to be around them. More likely, they won't have any. They won't be able to be cured from it or whatever. They don't have nothing. No one probably wants to be around. Or they don't. They themselves don't have any type of whatever to see a doctor. But that's our point. We always wanted to see a doctor first before we consult the one on the inside. And so what took place there? He said, was there not 9? Were there not 10? Where is the 9? What happened? The life that was in Jesus, in that body, was released upon them, and the leprosy was cleared. The same thing about Jairus' daughter. Jesus took the damsel girl by the hand. What happened? The spirit of life in you and I, it flows through your hand. It flows through your eyes. It can flow through your mouth. Why? Because his spirit is life. And when you speak of God's word from the perspective of how God created things, and you begin to start thinking in the light of God's perfection, rather than looking at everything that's imperfected and trying to make do with what is already there. I mean, we all do it. But when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God, I no longer look at things in the light of what as trying to make do of what we have. No, it's not the way God created it. So therefore, the power that be in me, if it's going to change, is going to be up to me. Wow. Did you hear what I said? The power that be to make the change of that thing is in me. Why? Because it is. It's in me. Christ in me. How many can see what I'm saying? How many understand what I'm saying? And so when Elisha, notice this, when Elisha spoke, notice he said, it said, it didn't only just happen once, not twice. Verse 11 said, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was troubled for this thing, and he called his servant and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, because how could the king of Israel know the plan that we going to come against them? And somebody, the only way he can know that is through someone speak. See, that's the natural mind. So what we'll call that today, we got a spy. And sometimes, you know, people use, you know, people as a spy. They act like they with you or whatnot, but really they're there to see your operation, see what you're doing, and then, you know, things can change. That happens in the natural. But I'm saying to you and I, in the spirit, you could see and know all things because the life of Christ is in you. This man, Elisha, only had the Spirit of God on him, but the gifts of the Spirit was manifesting the word of wisdom and the discerning spirit. It was working in him to do what? To show forth the children of Israel, the king of Israel, so that they didn't get taken by the Syrian army. And watch what happened. So the king was upset, and notice this. And one of the servants said, "My lord, O king," this is a little servant, Israel girl that was captured. It says, "But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, he telleth the king of Israel words." See, how could he do that? Only God, by his spirit, is revealing this to Elisha. It says, "He telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Now, isn't that amazing? Well, this manifestation is functionable in you and I today. It's already there. Now, it doesn't work as you will. It works as the Spirit will. Now, what does that mean? Meaning, if you make a decision to walk in the word, to walk in truth, then these gifts, these manifestations will be at place because why? You're walking in a higher authority. You're walking in a higher realm. You're not walking just in this realm, what you see, but you're walking in the realm of how God has put you in authority. The Bible said, what is that? I think Psalm 115, verse 15 and 16, that the heavens and the earth belongs to the Lord. He created it. But the earth has he given to the children of men. So God created the heavens and the earth, and it was what? Perfect. But we know what happened through the fall. So God is still, what did he do? He come in a form of a human because he put it in the hand of a human, and God kept it there. And so God rightfully went and took back what the enemy stole. And that's why you have to renew your mind and go back and look at Genesis 1 and 2 to see how God created the heavens and the earth. And when you and I see something, or when we come up against something that is indifferent to the word, then now I can take my place of authority. Now I can take my place and begin to speak from a place of living out of the kingdom, speaking with this authority. As Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, and he said, "All power, all authority has been given unto me." Now, he put that authority inside of you and I. That's why you have to be the one to speak. That's why you have to be the one to renew your mind with the word of God. So part of living the spirit-filled life is that your mindset has to be renewed every day, sometime moment by moment, depending on what you're confronted with. That could be a condition in your body, that could be a condition on your job, that could be something that's trying to get you to yield to what is, and you have to renew your mind with the word of God, because you see that the word of God has something totally different to say about this, and you have to make a decision. Whether you're going to side with the word, or are you going to side with your feelings? Are you going to make sides with your senses? Because you and I are the one that will make the difference. You have to be the one to choose. You know, Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "I put before you, I record this day before you, blessing and cursing, life and death." And then you say, "Choose life that you and your seed may live." So he's telling you what to choose. So in order for me to choose life, in order for you to choose life, You have to look at what the word says about it. When I find out what God's word says about it, then I begin to stand in that place of authority because I got his anointing. I got his spirit. I have his name. And then I begin to call those things that be not as though they were. I don't have to wait to see did it change. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he didn't watch to see did it dry up from the root. No. Jesus went on, and when they came back, made a 24-hour path back the way they came from that temple and came back. The disciples were the one that called to Jesus. Master, the fig tree, Mark 11, 12 through 21, the fig tree which you cursed, it withered away. And Jesus told them, have faith in God. This is what we're talking about. My faith is not in me. My faith is not in nothing else. My faith is in God. You understand what I'm saying? We get healed because our faith is in God. We get the financial breakthrough because our faith is in God. We get the deliverance because our faith is in God. Not just because I believe in deliverance. I believe in healing. I believe in God's protection. Yes, I believe. But guess what? It comes from God. So my faith is not in God's protection. My faith is not in God's divine healing. My faith is in God. So if I have faith in God, then guess what? When I release words of the kingdom, words of authority, then guess what? The thing changed. It has no other choice. Because see, I renew my mind to think in light of God's perfect will, the way God created it, the way God designed it. God gave us two things in Genesis 1:26. He gave us image and he gave us likeness. So we know what it's supposed to look like. We know what it's supposed to be. And your words will cause it to be upheld because they are words of eternal life. They are words from your Redeemer. And the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you, he's the one that's teaching you how to go about and making this stand. And look what I'm saying. I'm showing this to you through the Old Testament. The word of wisdom, discerning the spirit. And we could see the word of knowledge. Now watch this. The word of wisdom. Look at this. In verse 12 again, notice it. And one of the servants said, no, my Lord, none, my Lord, because notice this. He said in verse 11, will he not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? And no one could speak. And it said, one of his servants said, none, my Lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, he said, that is in Israel, tell it the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Whoa. See, the word of knowledge. He's letting them know what is taking place. Well, how could he know that unless God give it to him? Look at this. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him, as it has been told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore, send he thither horses, chariots, and a great host, that they may what? That they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. What gave him that confidence? Because you see, he's seeing into the spirit, discerning a spirit. Discerning a spirit is not just evil. Discernment of spirit is both good and bad. Elisha now is discerning in the spirit. He's seeing in the spirit because his servant doesn't see it. He said, "Alas, my master." Notice what he said. And the master answered, he said, "Fear not, for they that which be with us are more than they which with them." Well, where are they? How do he see that? Now watch what happened. Elisha prays, and the servant sees what Elisha sees. This is what the spirit-filled life, ladies and gentlemen. This is how it is. We live in the earth, we live in this world just like everyone else. But we know things by the spirit that the world don't know. We know things that can happen and what's going on around us that the Holy Spirit will make us aware because we are alert. We are sensitive to his way. He's not putting us in harm's way. He's putting us in position to destroy the works that the devil has done. Jesus already destroyed, so I'm just carrying out in that authority in his name of what Jesus has already done to the works of the devil. But if we, the righteous of God, don't stand up and speak what we have a right to, what Jesus already ratified for us in his body through his, on the cross, then guess what? Things will continue to keep going the way they're going until God finds someone that will believe him. Somebody finds someone that will act upon his word. And here, and I close with this. And notice this. In verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." So you know Elisha was seeing in the spirit. "Open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about it. Oh my. He didn't see it at first until Elisha prayed. And when he came down, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite the people, I pray, with blindness." And notice that, "And he smote them with blindness and according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, neither is the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria." And it come, and the story goes on. All of them was in the hand of the king of Israel. And all of a sudden they could have been taken, they could have lost their life. But what my point is to show you that Israel was saved because of these gifts of the Spirit. America, your community, the nation that you live in, whether it be Kenya, Nigeria, whether it be the Philippines, whether it be in the Middle East, Iran, or Pakistan, no matter where you are on the earth, these gifts, these manifestations will work for us as the Spirit will when we line up with the truth of how God created the heavens and the earth. The earth is being withheld from us because we don't have the right word. We don't have the right understanding. When you have the right understanding of these truths, then the heavens will open up to you. And the resources of heaven will release itself. Why? Because it's here. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to establish the kingdom of God, meaning I'm here to show you how God originally called forth what he saw within himself, because the earth was void. And that was, and it was darkness on the face of the deep. But when God called light, and light sprung in, the divine energy that gave light to everything from that moment on to live, it came out of God. And God is expecting you and I to speak from that perspective of calling those things that be not as though they were. And when we do that, because we have understanding and we have a boldness to open our mouth and watch the hand of God move on his perfect creation of how he destined things, then we're going to get the result. But the reason we don't get the result is because we're not speaking from God's original intent. That's why you got to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's why you got to live, you know, live in the Spirit-filled life, you know, being Spirit-filled. That's why you have to do it. Why? Because the natural condition is going to tell you, it's already up against you. This won't ever happen. You can't ever do that. And so because of that fallen mentality, that fallen world around you, what is it going to do? It's going to hold you captive. And all you're going to believe, all you're going to see is what you hear in this natural world. The doctor said this. You know, the financial said this. Whatever. No, go back to the Word of God. And look at how God created it. And then take your situation, your circumstance, and you take the Word, the perfect Word of God, and you begin to put it on that which is not perfect. That's the purpose of the Spirit-filled life. That's the purpose of praying in tongues, so you can renew your mind, because your mind is already has gravitated to the place of telling you it's the best it's going to get. It's the best you can do. And you have a choice. Either you can accept what this said, or you can take God at his word and change the condition. See, you can change it. Because it's in you, the life of Christ, the power of God, the Holy Ghost. It's in you. It's not up there. It's in you. But if you don't learn to release what's in you, then you're going to keep getting the same thing. Because you hadn't learned how to release that power, that authority that's already yours. But look, my time is up. It's come and gone. Look, you can go back and listen at this lesson again. Or if you desire to, you can download Grace Institute podcast on your pod, you know, whatever podcast, whatever phone that you have, Android or iPhone, whatever. If you listen to podcasts, you can put in Grace Institute Online Bible School, and this lesson will be uploaded at the completion of today's lesson. And so we love you. We thank God for you. And we also love for you to become a soul. Hey, Sister Cheryl, good to see you. Have a great day. And if you desire to sow into the Favor Church, it's on your screen, Cash App, the Favor Church. And what you're doing, you're sowing into an anointing that is giving you hope. You're sowing into an anointing that made things come alive to you again. Because you were hopeless. You were fearful. You didn't know. And now that you heard something that gave you hope, well, that's when you take your financial seed and say, Lord, thank you for giving me hope. Thank you for let somebody sowing into my life that word. And then what you're doing, you're sowing it back into the kingdom of God. And we're going to take the money and use it where we can, again, we take care of our grounds, take care of the building, we take care of leases, taxes, and everything else that goes with it. And that's what your seed does. And it helps us to continue to do what? To minister to those and give them hope so that their doubts can starve out and they could be strengthened in their inner man and know this is going to change. And it starts today. Amen. Well, I love you. I thank God for you. If you need anymore. If you want to text me or if you want to whatever, talk to me personally. I'll be open to you to do this or whatnot. But this is Friday, so we want you to have a great weekend. And we'll come back Sunday morning at the Favorite Church. I'll be back Monday morning, God willing. You know, we'll be continue our lesson along these lines. And I just believe that we are in for the greatest move of God that we've ever seen. Why? Because we are spiritually awakened to these truths that is already ours. And I'm so grateful that I have eyes to see. I'm getting more and more understanding about these two, about these truths, and wanting to release the kingdom of God so that you could do it too. So until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Love you now. We'll do it again next week, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone.